recovering addict. My name is Lisa. Hey, Lisa. Clean today through God's grace. Clean today through God's grace, sponsorship, all of you people being in my life, 12 Steps to Narcotics Anonymous, and for all of that, I'm truly grateful. I need to say I'm nervous. You know, like, I seen all my friends when I got here yesterday and today, and everybody was like, you speaking. I was like, nah, I'm speaker hunting. See, like, I'm a grateful recovering addict that's always involved in the service. I'm programming chair of the convention committee in my area, and I'm always the one calling all the speakers, asking them, inviting them down, you know. So I was like, no, I'm speaker hunting and looking cute. That's what I came here to do. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I'm grateful for my predecessors and also my friends that always see something in me that sometimes I don't even see in myself. You know, now this ain't the first time that I've done this, but I need to say, like, you know, I started sitting there and I'm like, I'm honored, you know, to be sharing with my predecessor, you know, that I have, like, you know, pretty much like listened to his story throughout my recovery. You know, in less than 50 days, I'll be celebrating 10 years clean. And I need to say, when I got here, I didn't come here that I wanted to recover and be spiritual and all that good stuff that y'all told me. I'm talking about when I got here, I just wanted to stop hurting. What a topic. What a topic. The gift of desperation. It talks about, in our literature, in the basic text, it said, when we were using, reality became so painful that oblivion was preferable. We tried to keep other people from knowing about our pain. We isolated ourselves and lived in prisons that we built with loneliness. Through this desperation, we sought help in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about through the gift of desperation, I was forced to seek help in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about at the end of my road, right? See, like, I ain't the girl that lost everything, but I'm the girl that lost her children at the end of my road. And I said, God, if I don't get my kids back, like, listen, what is life worth me living? And, like, I was going to this outpatient treatment program, and they do these assessments and all this good stuff. And the lady told me, like, you needed to make Narcotics Anonymous meetings. She told me I was an addict. But she said, you got to make that admission for yourself. And I wasn't willing to make that admission at that time. So when I got here, I was still in denial about being an addict. You know, I came here, I wanted my kids. And I wanted to live a happy life with my kids. But I still thought that once I got clean and was able to stay clean, that I could control my life again. You know, I remember asking my outpatient counselor before, you know, prior to coming here and surrendering, I was like, you mean I can't even drink? No, she said, no, you can't use nothing. You know, she said, but keep it just for today. So I'm talking about through the gift of desperation, I was forced to come here and, like, listen to you people. You people told me to get a sponsor, get a home group, and get involved in service. And I thank God for service. Service is what kept me clean for a long time. Like, I had a sponsor that guided me through this process and taught me how to open doors and taught me how to care about other people. I'm talking about the coffee commitment kept me clean for a lot of years. You know, as a matter of fact, it's funny. Like, you know, I work in the field today. I'm a social worker. You know what I mean? I was able through the process, through the gift of desperation, and I'm going to tell my story in a minute. You know what I mean? But through the process, I was able to go to college, right? Get a bachelor's of science in social work. I'm talking about, and, like, and get into the field that I always wanted to get to. And check this out. The people that were invested in my life and had my kids, I now work for them very same people. Tell me that ain't but an act of God. I'm talking about where man said that can't happen, God said it can. Through the gift of desperation. I'm talking about when you become obedient to the call. And I'm talking about, like, when I got here, right? Like, see, I was empty. It talks about being emotionally, physically, and spiritually bankrupt. And I didn't know nothing about being spiritually bankrupt. I grew up with a God, and I grew up with some concepts or some spiritual principles. I had a mother that taught me some things, but I abandoned those principles for the sake of one more. Right? But we talking about almost 10 years later. Y'all know what it was like to use. You know, I don't need to tell y'all what my drug of choice was. You know, really, it wasn't a choice. Whatever was the flavor for the moment. You know, I don't need to tell y'all how it felt in the using hangouts. I don't need to tell y'all how it feels to degrade your body for the sake of one more. I don't need to go through all of that, right? Because y'all all know what it's like, right? Y'all all addicts in here, right? All right, all right. So we all know the story. See, we can't blame drug use as our problem anymore. We're talking about this almost 10 years later. How about the gift of desperation clean? How about the gift of desperation clean when you in your house on your knees? Like, listen, talking about asking God, please help me. I'm talking about this in this process, right? 12-step members sponsoring people, being sponsored, concepts, traditions, and all that good stuff. Service work, wazoo, and you still on your knees asking God, what is my purpose for being here? Yeah. Still abandoning yourself, living like a derelict, clean in recovery. It's been a long time since I shared this whole story and get emotional about it, right? Some of them know my story. I shared this story many times, and I'm going to share it again with y'all so y'all can know a little bit about who I am, talking about the gift of desperation. But I'm talking about thank God for the gift, right? It said gift. See, it didn't leave me there in the pain. It said it's a gift, right? Because when I unwrapped the gift, right, it forced me to seek a power greater than myself, that I ain't left there in a desperate state. See, it seems like it's hopeless when you're in it. But when you come out of it and you look back and you said, thank God. I needed all of those experiences. I needed all of those desperate moments for me to become the woman that I am today. I wouldn't change nothing. I wouldn't change not one iota of a thing that I've been through. I'm talking about 6.5, almost 7 years of my recovery, right? I told y'all, I'm a 12-step member. I'm being sponsored, always been sponsored. I believe in the liturgy, and I've just thrown it in so I don't have my liturgy with me, you know. But I'm a, you know, carried step working guide, you know, very, you know, worked through the 12 steps very diligently, you know, like a studious student, you know what I'm saying? You know, keep step work appointments with sponsees, you know, believe in keeping it real, believe in telling myself the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But what about when you still want to live in self-denial? Right. So for about 6.5 years, almost 7 years of my recovery, right, I was living in desperation. You know, you knew, right? I had about 18 months, right? And I was sitting in a meeting, you know, that loneliness creeping in again now because everything waking up, right? You know, and I'm sitting in a meeting in my area, you know, and at this point, you know, people sitting and think, oh, she got a message. She, you know, she working the steps. I think I was almost through the 12 steps, about 18 months. Now, you can almost be through the steps. Let's make this clear, right? You can get through 12 steps in a year, whatever. But I'm talking about it's life on life terms that give you the experiences. You know, I know sometimes we tend to think that we've been through the steps. You know, we got about a year or so clean that we really know something. No, it's our living experiences that give us the experience. It said it's only through understanding and application that they work. See, when I got here, I applied the 12 steps directly to not using drugs. I had no clue about the deeper level of surrender, turning it over, let go, let God. I had no clue about the deeper level of applying the principles in my life. You mean it goes beyond the use of drugs? You know? Then I became a target because I was one of them people that got called on to share all over my area and Trenton and, you know, New Jersey. I got called to share, you know, so then, you know, don't be a 12-step member sharing all over, sponsoring a lot of people and you know, and your little background is shady because then you become a target. What? Miss Spiritual Lisa? Yeah, me. So, had about 18 months clean and the guy was in the back of the meeting and he smiled at me. And then he winked at me, and I said, oh, he cute, you know. So we hooked up. He became my friend first. Then I had, you know, at the back of the room, and, you know, I'm idolizing. Although he became my friend, in my head, I didn't plan the wedding, and I knew the dress I was going to wear, and I knew all the NA members that was going to attend, and my daughter was going to be the bridesmaid, and, you know, all that good stuff, you know. Because I got the kids back and we was going to live life happily ever after. Right? And for a moment, I thought I was living life happily ever after. You know, because we can manipulate ourselves into thinking that things are going our way. You know, it talks about in our liturgy that it's easy to think that you're in surrender mode when life is just going as you want it, when you really don't have much to surrender to. when you really don't have to practice the application of turning it over. It's easy to think that we got a first step. It's easy to think that you got a third step. But what happens when life ain't happening the way you want it to? Tell me where your third step gift of desperation is then. Tell me where you're turning it over. You know, I got a God in my life then. That's when the real you show up. And I'm talking about for a long time in my recovery, I had the information, but I had the unwillingness to practice the principle. I'm talking about becoming so desperate, right? Like, listen, I did marry this guy, but we didn't have this big fancy wedding, right? As a matter of fact, he practiced a different religion than I practiced, and I made a point of changing my name in my religion because I wanted him so desperately. Denied my true self. Because it was more important for you to validate me than I knew how to validate myself. But see, I didn't listen in the beginning. Because he told me who he was. He had the inability to be monogamous. As a matter of fact, he believed in having multiple wives. But I thought, because I'm the great Lisa, I will change your mind. You didn't have it like you had it till you had me. So you will only want one me. Well, I didn't change his mind. And he was who he was. And so he continued to step outside of the relationship over and over and over again. And I continued to stay, and I continued to take him back. And, you know, we played the, cha-cha-cha game, in and out, and up and down and around. And, you know, I used the rooms as a battleground because I knew how to use the literature to cut you like a sword. But I'm using the literature to try to tear you down. Why couldn't I use the literature to build myself up? And I ain't happy about that part of my life, but like I told you, I don't want to change any of it because it made me the woman that I am today. Like, I've learned the lessons. And I'm talking about for a lot of years, you know, he slept with women in and outside the rooms, and it was very painful because I didn't have the ability to leave. And I had some friends in here that loved me unconditionally. Friends like George, who, this is his fault that I'm up here. So if anybody don't like the tape, see George after the meeting. And Sharon and Shakur and all the friends in my area, and as many more, Richie, and, you know, all the people that I've met along the way in the journey that God said I would never be alone through this process. You know, and a lot of the people he and I met together, you know, traveling to many conventions together and, you know, being on a set. And, you know, so, you know, it was very hard. You know, when you identified yourself through this person, and when a relationship is over, you trying to learn how to find your own identity. It was very hard for me at the end of the 7-year mark when I came to conventions and I was alone and he was no longer by my side, and I saw the same very friends that we were friends with, and I was wondering on the inside, did they still love me for who I was? I'm talking about through the process, right? I experienced so many desperate nights, right? I'm talking about I ain't smoked no crack, I ain't smoked no coke, I ain't smoked no joints, I ain't drank no cognac in almost 10 years. But when I had about 5 years clean, I looked like I was smoking. I had lost so much weight. I used to get out of my bed at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning looking for him because he had become my drug of choice. He had become my higher power. Once again, I was in a desperate state. It said we suffer from a seemingly hopeless dilemma. The solution, which is spiritual in nature. But the third step said we need to be honest about what we believe if we to grow spiritually. And I was living a lie. And I didn't know how to come and tell y'all that I was Milli Vanilli in it. Fronting and stunting. I didn't know how to come and tell y'all that. As Ron H. always say, Milli Vanilli. I was. I needed somebody to teach me how to get to this God so I can learn how to be all right with who I am. So I don't have to be so desperate. Because when you're desperate, your value system changes. As a matter of fact, you don't have a value system. Anything goes. I remember one night, after many back and forths, and he married different women on me, and I was still there, and all the friends that were in my life, you know, began to back up from me, and they said I became toxic. And I didn't understand why everybody was leaving me. But check this out, God is so good. At that point in my recovery, I wasn't used, and I was coming to meetings, and I had started learning how to share a little bit honest. Because I didn't always know how to share honest about me. I told you I came in here and focused on him and what he needed to do. And at the point where I became here and began to free myself and tell y'all that I really needed some help, God began to send me women in my life, sponsees. And I was looking at them like they was crazy. Like, what in the world do they want me to sponsor them for? I don't have anything to give. And I remember in a sponsee meeting that they told me, they said, we see that you stay clean, that you don't use through all of this, and you still show up in meetings, no matter how humiliated you feel. They say, we see strength. You give us courage, because some of us use. And that's the point in my recovery where I began to see that God had a purpose for me, and that I needed to utilize these principles that he was giving me. And it was at this point where I began to travel, and I remember going to Rhode Island. I was struggling in sponsorship at the time, and it wasn't that something was wrong with my first sponsor. You know, sometimes we tend to think when we change sponsors, there's something wrong with the people. Nah. You know, they said what was appropriate for one phase of recovery may not be appropriate for the next. So what had happened is my sponsor had guided me through the literature. She had worked. She had taught me how to open a dictionary. She had taught me how to do the step work. She had taught me how to not use, no matter what came down the pipe. But I needed somebody to teach me how to get to God. Y'all told me my solution was spiritual in nature, and I was scared to get there. So I needed somebody that would teach me how to get there and wouldn't be scared to stand up to me. Because sometimes I think, you know, I'm kind of bad or something. I don't know. And I met this woman. I was in Rhode Island. Well, I hadn't met her previously because I told you I travel and, you know, service and call people to share all, you know, and all that stuff. But I remember being in Rhode Island on a commitment. And as a matter of fact, the commitment was sponsorship. And I was sharing for my now sponsee sister, Wanda B. And me and my previous sponsor was sharing. And, you know, it was a very big event. And it was, you know, a lot of women there and, you know, and this, that, and the third. And this woman, I was sitting in the, I remember after I had shared and sitting in the audience, and this woman, Tammy Cece from Delaware, was up there sharing, and, you know, she was sharing, and it just seemed like nobody else was in the room, like the room was clear, and she was talking to me. And I felt God moving in my spirit for the first time. When you be still and quiet, you can hear it. But when you moving so fast and talking so loudly, you can't hear it. And I felt him moving in my spirit, and he said, there she is. Now go ask her. And I was so scared. I felt like a newcomer all over again. My relationship was over. I felt new. I felt like I had no identity. Like I needed to find my own way. I felt like, you know, I was validated. And, you know, and not that some people meant it. But some people, when I still would show up on the scene at conventions, they would be like, oh, that's Aziz's wife or ex-wife or whatever. And I'm like, no, my name is Lisa. Now today they address me as such. That's Lisa D. That's right. Lisa D from Atlantic City. And thank God for the process, right? So the woman, you know, God told me to ask her to sponsor me. And I remember holding everybody up, you know, at the coffee shop, you know, and, you know, just like telling, regurgitating everything that was going on. And I remember my sponsee sister, you know, saying to me, she said, you know, God got something for you, you know, as a woman, you know, when she was pointing me to Tammy at the time, and I had already knew that God was leading me there. So I remember when I got back home from the trip, you know, she had called me, Wanda had called me and told me Tammy was stuck at the airport, call her and keep her company on the phone, and she was doing a setup right there. And I remember calling her and talking to her, and at that moment, right, I just asked her, feeling like a brand new baby, like, can you please sponsor me? And I've been well on my way since then. Like, I've been learning how to grow up in this process. you know, and I'm talking about, like, you know, finding my own way. I'm talking about taking the steps, learning how to live, applying the principles, not using. And I ain't talking about the drug. Because it was a point of time in this process that the gift of desperation, right? I'm talking about a point of time in this process where I used to become so desperate, feeling like that deep-rooted void inside of me, that everything external validated me, whether it was the clothes, the jewelry, the shopping, the food, the man, you know. Like, I used to drive up and down the highway late at night because it couldn't be during the day because I'm spiritual Lisa, and I didn't need to let y'all know that I was up and down the highway sleeping with people that I called my friend, and then being in the daytime, going to work as a professional, coming and sharing in a meeting all spiritual, but not letting y'all know that I'm still raping my own self. And one day, I'm talking about my 7-step prayer, real humbly, I said to God, please help me. I don't want to live this way no more. And he said, just allow me, because I've been helping you. And I'm talking about, it was a point where I no longer needed to get up out of my bed at 2:00 in the morning looking for people. I no longer needed to get out of my bed, or if somebody called me, do you want to come over and spend the night? No, I don't. And I didn't need to become very indignant when I said it. You know, I just needed to stand on my principles and not compromise. And as a result of that, right, I'm talking about today that I have much respect from the people in my life. I'm talking about the men in my life value me as a very good friend. Even some of them that I had those type of relationships where I crossed the boundaries. It's a piece in our 4-step that talks about, do we sacrifice platonic relationships for romantic relationships? There are many of them that I did. But because God is a good God, that I can still go back and be their friend with no strings attached. Bringing up the speed before I close. You know, I took some time for myself, and I learned how to value who I am, and I learned how to, you know, be the woman that I am and that God intended me to be, and I learned how to help people selflessly, you know, and like, you know, not be so desperate where I'm sacrificing the morals and the principles that y'all gave me on the inside. And I'm talking about, as a result of that, I became a stand-up kind of girl. And I'm talking about, God is so good and he loves me so much, right, that I begin to feel good about who I am. I'm talking about even where it's called on to make a choice that, you know, sometimes you just got to tell yourself no, because, you know, telling yourself no, you're doing it for a greater purpose. So I met somebody and I embarked upon a relationship, right? And I got in a relationship with an individual that has more time than me and is a little bit more healthy than me, but I'm still coming from an unhealthy place. You know, where the relationship used to be like, if you called me obsessively 20 times a day, you know, question me about where I was, because, not because you were concerned about where I was, you was really trying to make sure I didn't run into you doing what you was doing, right? But I still value that, oh, they really love me. So I still had that thing inside of me where I need you to, like, call me obsessively and obsess, and, you know, I become your world. But God said that ain't healthy. See, it's a difference between love and obsession. And when you run into obsession, then you're back in a desperate place. Can you love somebody when you ain't sleeping with them? How about when you haven't seen them in 2 months because they're going through a transition in their life? Can you be unconditional in that? Or are you going to resort to desperate measures again where you're taking your will into your own hands? You want to run up and down the highway and try to control, fix, and arrange the outcome. 7 steps say, I learned my limitations. So because I learned my limitations, right, I knew the ability to have acceptance and surrender is a must. I allow people to be who they are and where they're at. And I don't have to control it. Because if you're for me, I don't have to become so desperate and try to make it happen. Because if I'm trying to make it happen, Captain, guess who's in charge? I am. And I'm easing God out. So today, I'm up here with sponsorship, but I came with just some friends, and we all doing our own thing. Friends and sponsors, and, like, you know, I'm kind of like alone, and me and my girlfriend, and, you know, ain't nobody on my hip, and I'm still okay with who I am. I ain't desperate today, but it was through the gift of desperation that I arrived at this point, and it took some work. It took some acceptance. It took a whole lot of surrender. And through that, I can become a whole healthy human being. So if you knew, the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous is the solution. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa. Our second speaker, also from the Garden State.
Yes, sir.
With no ado or fanfare, I give you Ron H. from New Brunswick.
I'm an addict named Ron, and I'm here by God's grace and God's mercy, and on the invitation of this convention. It's good to be here. I'd like to thank Lisa for setting the table on something about desperation here. I know what it is.
I know you know.
I know what it is. Let Ron H. share. My friend Sherman. I'm here to share on the, check it out. I'm here to contribute to the gift of desperation. What a wonderful talk on a wonderful day, right? I am the perfectly imperfect creation created by the perfect creator. I am flawed all the time. I am never, check it out, never a complete project. I am a work in progress. It is the process of coming to believe that restores us to sanity. It's not a burning bush. So I'm here to talk about the gift of desperation. I want to talk about the liabilities of desperation. I see my friend Tammy C.C. Hola. William J. And where the hell is Tish? My friend William S. just got finished. My sponsor and friend George just got finished. My friend Lisa from Atlantic City just got finished. Let me see. Check it out. Let me see if I can contribute to the pool of knowledge about this disease. The liabilities of desperation. I've been desperate all of my life, as far back as I can remember. I have, wait a minute, never been normal. It's nice to be able to own that. Some of you are confused about that. In fact, you think you might be normal. If you claim addict status, you ain't normal. Tell yourself your own story. My story is not as significant as yours. The liabilities of desperation. 32 treatment programs. 25 years of heroin use. 25 years, a quarter of a century. 8 years prior to that of various starter drugs. Starter drugs. The wine that we don't hear about. Let me tell you what, I drank so much wine that if you rejected my membership, I could go somewhere else. Well, you motherfuckers are slow, man. Drink it like a pint of wine. spent 15 years in prison. 33-262, 51-410, 54-045, 62-524. Years. Desperate. Didn't want to stop fucking in prison. Fucked in prison. I'm talking about on the visit. Yeah. I know y'all thought I was talking about the round eye. You know, although it got that desperate sometimes. Oh, I got busted in prison for sale and possession. Desperation. I took the warden hostage. 1971, Yardville Reformatory. Kidnapped the warden for 2.5 days. Held him hostage. Was facing the death penalty of life imprisonment. Desperation. Check it out. The attic. Wait a minute. I want what I want when I want it. The warden and nobody else is going to dictate to me what I'm going to do. Desperation. I became very, very sick. I never heard about Narcotics Anonymous when I was in prison. I got paroled on October 29th, 1985. I came to the city of New Brunswick to a woman, the best I could do. I was homeless with a home because it wasn't mine. I was still dependent. I was still using people. I found Narcotics Anonymous in 1986. And I started coming high, using. You told me that the only requirement for membership was a desire to stop using. Then the new literature said that desire is not a measurable quality. In a room this size, somebody's urine is dirty. You're right where you're supposed to be. You're welcome here. Those of us who are too fragile to be around somebody using, just you need to buddy up and partner up with somebody who's got a little bit more strength than you, because the person needs to be here. I came for 2.5 years. High. And I came too. My clean date is August the 14th, 1989. I'm 19 and a half years clean. I figured I'd die somewhere in some abandonment. Just die. Wait a minute. I'm an intrepid. An intrepid person. Intrepid means fearless. It has gotten in my way at times. But fearless, death does not frighten me at all. So I brought my desperation into Narcotics Anonymous. I begin to work these steps as if my life depended on it. Let me tell you what the convention guidelines say. Narcotics Anonymous approved literature. It says potential speakers and program participants are people who base their recovery on powerlessness over addiction. identify themselves as addicts and attend NA meetings to sustain their recovery. Huh? These qualifications are sure an NA member gets an NA convention. Check it out. For those who have any concern when people say we need to get the best speakers.
Come on, Ryan.
The best speakers for conventions are those who address recovery as if their lives, as well as the lives of the listeners, depend on it. So we shouldn't, check it out, shouldn't put no flat beer in front of nobody. Desperate, we need to have stories that, check it out, that bring us on the edge of our motherfucking seat. That's NA literature, that's not Ron H. NA literature, I quote that. So, I came in desperate. It says we grow through pain and recovery and often find that such a crisis is a gift, an opportunity to experience growth by living clean. The Chinese word for crisis is weiji, W-E-I. J-I. The first part, wei, W-E-I, means a crisis or a difficult time. The second part, ji, J-I, means an opportunity. So the desperation that we share, the crisis that we, check it out, that we have in recovery, if you ain't having no crisis, your ass ain't living. If your story don't have no crisis ever, you ain't living or you're fronting. So a crisis or this desperation that we have is an opportunity to change. I've done a lot with my desperation. A whole lot with it. All right? But some of it's gotten in my way. Wait a minute. I got a master's degree in human services with a concentration in counseling. Well, wait a minute. I'm 6'2", 5'24". I'm 33, 262. I'm 51, 410. I'm 54, 45. I got clinical license in two states, New Jersey and Pennsylvania. I'm a licensed professional counselor. You should not be afraid to talk about where your fucking vision is going. Some of us are afraid to talk. Afraid to check it out. Afraid to name the exact motherfucking nature. What is the exact nature? Wait a minute. The message is hope. And the promise is freedom. Huh? Where does an addict get hope from if you muffle, mask what the fuck you're doing in your life? Where do we get it from? And sometimes the less developed person says, ah, what the fuck? This is not the place to share that. You don't share. You don't talk about that here. What the fuck am I supposed to be, a drama queen? Huh? Is that the message of Narcotics Anonymous? Huh? The message that in addict, any motherfucking addict, hey, I don't give a goddamn who you are, any addict can stop using drugs. It's a trilogy. A trilogy is a story in three parts. Can stop using drugs. One, two, lose the desire to use. Three, and check it out, and find a new way to live. Not the same old way. Yeah. Not the same old shit like the glorious days of yesteryear. Yeah. No. Yeah. Don't be afraid to talk about what you're doing in your life. Every time I open my mouth, Every single time I open my mouth, somebody says, thank God for you, Ron H. Thank God for you. I heard just what I needed to hear. So I've been becoming transparent. Transparent means me providing you with the ability to see who the fuck I am. All right? Wait a minute. I don't need you to do it. I done it myself. Took my ass up off of icon status. I ain't no motherfucking icon. I'm far from being an icon. And yeah, I got credentials. C-A-D-C, I-C-A-D-C, C-A-C. I got credentials. A-B-D, all but dissertation in psychology. All but working on my, I'm writing my dissertation. All right? From, check it out. From jail to motherfucking Yale. All right? It's my desperation. It's my desperation to be better today than I was yesterday. Huh? But that's the external stuff. I got so involved in the external stuff that I began to lose my balance between my internal spiritual self and my external, you know, developmental professional self. Check it out. I suffered. Tammy, you knew my wife. I suffered. And this is a part of my story. If you've been tracking, check it out. If you've been tracking Ron H. Come on. If you've been tracking me, you know about my wife. That's right. Lesbian issues came up for her. And don't have no fear. I love you lesbians like a fat kid love fucking cake. All right? I'm not hating. It's the same thing with you, with the gay guys. You know, I'm not knocking your ass. I know you'd like to be in boys' camp, though. Wait a minute. Judge, you only giving me 1 year? Okay. I keep coming back, man. Listen, I'm not homophobic. I got no issues. Listen, I'm so full of my own issues. I don't have any time to get involved in your issues unless you bring them to me. And that's as far as it goes. Listen, I don't gossip. Wait a minute. I'm not saying I don't gossip a little bit. I don't gossip. I don't do it. Wait a minute. I served God, but I stopped. Here comes the transparency piece. I served, and George in his meeting talked about, it was such a, I sponsor George. He said it's such a relief to have his sponsor call up and talk about the sponsor, me, my vulnerabilities, my defects of character, my shortcomings. What a relief. Because there's a part of me, I come from 4-down-22 cell, Rahway State Prison. I come from a place where you never let them see you sweat. I come from a place where you don't tell them bad day. God damn, I just started.
Right. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
somebody. Boy, I drove. Wait a minute. This old school shit. I drove 195 motherfucking miles. On my own money and gas. Bought my own room. Wait a minute. Look, shit, fuck it. Let a nigga live. Damn, I ain't even talk about my vulnerability. I haven't talked about my transparency. I was so damaged and so in love with my ex-wife that when the lesbian issues came up for her, that I didn't want to be hurt again. So therefore, I stopped investing in relationships. I just stopped. That's a classic piece of paper on the floor. William, I want you to get that and hold it for me. So I began to practice having one foot in and one foot out. Can anybody relate to that? It's called self-centered fear. I want to take care of myself. Where's God? Fuck that. No, I'm afraid of being hurt. So I started trying to take care of myself. There was a paradigm shift from, check it out, from letting God take care of me. Listen, God was in the care of God. I was in the care of God. I was praying all the time. I stopped praying somewhere about 5 years ago. Quietly, I didn't tell y'all I stopped praying. I thought I could have, check it out, my connection with God whenever I wanted to have my connection with God. Like abracadabra, God. I check it out. Desperately didn't want to be hurt. I didn't see the gift. I didn't see the gift of vulnerability. Huh? I didn't understand that. Check it out. In order to be fully enmeshed in love, that I needed to set myself up to be fully loved or to get fucked. And realize that I had no control over the outcome.
You better share.
But I wasn't doing that. I would meet this woman and then sabotage it. I would meet this one and sabotage it. And God woke me up. God placed a woman in my life that was, check it out, that was willing to work with me through my shit. Most of us treat people when it comes to infidelity. Big heavy word, isn't it? Infidelity. We treat people when they have infidelity with us. Most of us treat them like they're disposable. We bounce. That's our solution. I'm bouncing. Fuck her. Fuck him. What a motherfucker. I fell in love with a woman. Wait a minute. Guys, women, let me help you with courage. Right. I fell in love with a woman who's sitting right there with that blonde hair, slightly different complexion. I fell in love with her, but I still
had, check it out, I still had the non-committal shit going on. Wait a minute. I still had my fingers in somebody else's hair. But I had my fingers in her hair. And she's sitting right there. She was determined to get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. She had a gift of desperation. I had a gift of desperation. I knew, check it out, I was ambiguous. That means I was like sitting on a fence. It was like I loved her, but check it out. Should I do this? Should I set my motherfucking ass up again? So she asked me about it. I told her that I had fucked somebody else. I'm just trying to look at your faces. Women, it's easier for you to do that kind of thing because of some of you. But us guys, we don't do that. We don't do that. I'm born 1948. July 14th. This year I'll be 61 years old, right? I'm from an era and a place in time where, check it out, when I robbed Central Jersey Bank and Trust Company, right? When I stuck them up with a 30 caliber M1 carbine, air-cooled vents, 30-round banana clips, Plainfield Machine Company, I was on film and they said, Mr. H., that is you, isn't it? I went shaggy on him. It wasn't me. On film. On film. Never do you cop to some shit like that. It's a new day, y'all. It's a new day. Wait a minute. And find a new way of life. I have an absolute right to tell you the truth so that you can make a decision about whether you want to be my friend, my lover, my fiance. But as long as I keep making myself who I know you like, you will always be my friend. But I'm beating your ass out of an opportunity to make a decision for yourself. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm talking about the desperation. Here I am, I fall in love. Check it out. I fall in love. After all this time, because I didn't love none of the other women. I didn't love them. I was doing time with them. So I told her. And we, check it out, and we've broken up, gotten back together, broken up, gotten back together. We stay together. We're staying together. On March 27th, I put a diamond ring on her finger. Hold your hand up. It's an infinity ring. Diamonds and rubies. All the way around. But it requires work. Ain't no abracadabra trust. I got to hear shit over and over and over again. But the healing process requires that. Either that or join the ranks of the disposable couples. I don't want to be disposable. And wait a minute. And I don't want to hurt her anymore. So I'm working. Check it out. My job is not to work on her. My job is to work on me. All right? The infidelity that I practiced, check it out. I was running. I didn't want to take that risk anymore. All right? It would, check it out. Seriously. It might have involved sex, but it was less sexual than it was fear.
Right.
Sexual stuff is just familiar stuff. I'm like, yeah, it's real easy. So we bought two books on infidelity. And we read our books together. And we highlight. We read together. We don't read separately. And we discuss some shit that makes me want to say, hua, 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 hua. It's not easy. It's not easy, but check it out. Our literature told us all about it. It does. In the sixth step, in the basic text, in the first paragraphs, it says so many times, addicts are sought the rewards of hard work without the labor.
Without the labor.
If you have infidelity in your life, the only way to change it is to confront it.
Yes.
Confront it. It's going to be ugly. It's not going to be handsome. But confront it. Wait a minute. Now we're talking about walking through the goddamn storm.
That's right.
Walking through it. Having to look at, wait a minute. I don't like looking at myself like that. I want to be the icon. I want, check it out. A part of me wants to be the guy who doesn't exhibit any defects of character.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
I am the perfectly imperfect creation. Created by the perfect creator. But the thing is, I don't ever want to do this again. I don't want to do it again. Oh, yeah. I thank God, too. I love you. Listen, I am not misogynist. Misogynist means a hatred of women. I do not hate women. I'm not an abuser, but some of the shit I did was emotionally abusive.
Come on and share.
How the fuck am I some recovering person and I'm running around hurting her or hurting anybody?
Come on,
man. A part of my life had become Milli Vanilli.
Yeah.
I was afraid I would end up at the podium like this. Speechless. Lips moving. Like a silent movie. There's speakers and there's messengers. I'm a messenger. Not a speaker. I was a speaker only as long as I didn't tell the truth. Telling the truth makes me a messenger. Because I know you don't have to tell me shit. I know from what I talked today, I've touched a lot of you motherfuckers. I got you looking inside. I got you questioning. Oh, shit.
That's right.
Oh, I know. I'm not here to entertain.
I'm not here to entertain at all. I'm here to save my ass. I can't save my face. Now look, sometimes people say we go to separate meetings because I don't want to share and I want my woman to hear what I'm going to share. Better get to a point where not only does she hear what you share, you better sit the fuck down and talk to her. We're talking about relationship stuff here. We're talking about grown-up stuff. We're talking about adult stuff. Wait a minute. Seventh step, basic text. We gradually and carefully pull ourselves out of the isolation and loneliness of addiction and into the mainstream of life. How can I go into mainstream life rot and full of the defects of character that removed me in the first place? Mainstream. This is a clinical setting here. We're supposed to come in here and work on our stuff. The medallion says the order of the medallion. We read that shit any way we want to read it. Oh, hell no. All right? The order of the medallion is self. Self, society,
yes.
Service, and God. God is last. Doesn't mean God is last. But how the hell am I going to go to God if I can't respect and love the creation? I'm going to say I love God. God is, you know what God want to see? God want to see how am I treating me? How am I treating you? Check it out. How am I treating people in my service work? My service work bigger than N.A. I'm a university professor.
That's right.
Oh, 33,262? It's a university professor? I teach graduate and postgraduate courses at Lincoln University in Philadelphia. Huh? Wait a minute. I have a clinical private practice in my office, built an office. I build insurance companies. I see patients. And some of you who don't have money, I see you for $5.
Okay. You're all right.
Everything not about money, but everything is about God. God takes care of his messengers. I have no fear. I told you I was intrepid. Now I'm going to put an adjective on it to describe what kind of intrepidity I have. I'm spiritually intrepid. I say I bear witness there's no one worthy of worship but God. But check it out. Let me tell you what the literature says. Huh? It's a wonderful literature. Absolutely wonderful. In recovery and relapse, it says we come here powerless. Huh? And the power that we seek comes to us through other people in Narcotics Anonymous. But it has a requirement. But we must reach out for it. So it tells me that I have to have humility. I have to come to you, not with arrogance. Arrogance not the road to God. But I have to come to you when I don't know how to do something. I've surrounded myself with healthy married men. Healthy. Ones who ain't. Check it out. How do I know they healthy? Check this out. Because I sponsor the motherfuckers. I don't have any time to play with this. I'm trying to salvage and recollect and rehabilitate my soul. I'm not playing with this. I don't know how much time I got left, but I'm going to set the goddamn record straight. When I exit, I'm going to exit as a whole person. I'm not going to exit as Humpty motherfucking Dumpty. I'm not going to do it. So my sponsee, David G., who I know is faithful and loyal, doesn't betray his wife. I said, David, I need you to sponsor me on this.
That's right.
He's been sponsoring me on this.
My, check it out. My grand sponsee, Rick M. I say, Rick, David sponsors you. You're doing good with your wife. He's my grand sponsee. I said, I need you to sponsor me on this. Sponsorship's a two-way street. I called George in Pittsburgh, and I told him the exact nature. And George, I need you to sponsor me on this. George's story is he has some historic infidelity. Sorry, George, I'm telling your goddamn story. It's all right. It's all right. I know it was. Years ago, him and his wonderful wife, Sharon, are still together. Sharon is my friend. I saw Sharon outside the meeting. I said, Sharon, I need your number. I said to you, I need Sharon's number. I ain't asked you for your number. I got yours. But my woman is 7 years clean. My fiance, she just ain't my woman. My fiance is 7 years clean. And like, there don't seem to be a lot of women who are either had this experience and stayed.
Come on.
And stayed. All right? Or who have it at all. So guess what I'm doing? I'm not only helping myself, but God damn it, I'm sending people to my fiance. If you had this experience in this room, if you have it, women, she's the blonde in the second row. She's 31 years old. Some people say, Ron, ain't you too old for her? Since when did God make people too old for somebody? Check it out. I got 4 books in my life. All of them, some belong to you, some belong to you, some belong to you, and some belong to me. 4 books in my life. And none of those books. Y'all, listen, I'll leave it to you to interpret what I'm saying. None of those books say anything about the age of my fiance.
I know that's right.
Stop hating on a motherfucker. Look, come on, man. Look, I've made myself transparent.
Yes.
I've made myself vulnerable. All right? Because I just want to get better. I don't want to remain the same. I don't. You know? And I'll get through this, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Like I've gotten through other things in my recovery. You know, I know that I'm supposed to be right where I am. I asked, Raina is her name. Wait a minute.
That's right.
Raina.
That's right.
Raina D.
That's right.
Is her name. She's not just an anonymous, check it out, some anonymous bitch. All right? No, she's not. She's not a bitch and she's not anonymous. She's a wonderful person. All right, who has good days and bad days because of the fucking damage I created. All right, I own it. I created it. She asked me to look in my cell phone. Take it. Sometimes when I leave her, know what I do? I go at my office in my home. I go to the fax machine, the landline. I call her. Just to let the landline number come up. In other words, I ain't out running around fucking nobody. I'm home. Now, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. What I'm trying to do is help her when she needs help. Give her some reassurance and some comfort. All right? Now, I'm almost 61 years old. If you go by the OG shit, that put me on chump status. Guess what? I can't save my face and my ass at the same time. I don't think I'm on chump status. I think I'm a partner who's trying to help his partner, a partner who's trying to mend his relationship. All right? I got a woman who hasn't made me disposable. Let me tell you what, it's hard work to work through some shit like this. Hard work. And if you work through it, I'd like to talk to you. Because that's what we do here. We share our experience, strength, and hope. So anyway, I don't know where I'm going in my journey. I have no idea. I don't know why I'm doing the schoolwork. I don't know why I'm doing my own schoolwork. Sometimes you listen to God, and God wants to take it out. Check it out. What's the use and what's the point in seeking? We saw through prayer, right? And meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him. Check this out. Praying only. Not for another goddamn thing. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. God, what is your will? He gives it to me in increments. It's incremental. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I have no idea. Why do I need a PhD? I can't tell you why. I don't know why. It's none of my fucking business. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him. If it's an authentic, genuine releasing of my will, then what God does with me and what where I go is none of my business. I just need to go. I just need to listen. And I need to tell myself my own story. Wait a minute. It can't be any worse for me than it was. I had to pick up my 10th step. My loss of my 10th step. George, you need to hear that. The loss of a continuing inventory is what put me, check it out, which blocked me from being able to identify the importance of my relationship with God. I stopped praying. I stopped my direct line. I had a line with God for 15 years. And the connection with God is what always carried me over. I lost my connection. I began to suffer. I began to self-medicate. Not with no drugs. Huh? Academic genes. Peppy genes. You know what I mean? Wait. A money exchange. Food. Wait a minute. I've been working on some shit. My weight.
Go here, Rob. Hit the runway.
I'm 179 pounds. I had a 42-inch waist. I was 245 pounds. Ugly to myself. Not to you, to myself. Huh? Didn't know it. Became diabetic. I'm low-level diabetic. Check it out. I like sneakers. Look, I don't want to lose my feet to the sneakers. Come on. No. So I'm working, and my soulmate, she tells me, baby, I don't want you to lose any limbs. I want you to take care of yourself. She's been placed in my life.
That's right.
I don't know how long she's been placed in my life. But I want to leave everything I got. Check that out. I want to leave everything I got. I'm a homeowner. Huh? You know, I work for myself, so I have to build my own retirement.
Right.
You know? Whatever I got, I want to leave to her. I want to try to have my house paid off so she won't have nothing to do but pay property tax.
All right.
You know? Listen, y'all. This is Ron H. Exposed. I'm trying to do something. Check it, I'm trying to add to my life. I'm trying to augment my life. Raina, I ask you openly, eventually for your forgiveness. Check it out. May God help me that I never, ever, ever do that
to you again, or anybody, because I'm not the determiner whether you decide to stick and stay. Just for today, just for these weeks you have. I know this talk is threatening to some of you. Oh, I know it is. Some of you are saying, oh, that motherfucker I'm with, if he ever do that shit to me, God damn it. Why he up there talking about it? Some of y'all going through it now.
Say what you say.
Huh? Some of you, we did a meeting. I don't know if it was her meeting or my meeting. Did a meeting, and the woman started crying. It was Monday night. She's the Perth Iron Boy. I picked the topic. The topic was vulnerability and transparency. I picked the woman crying. She said, he's doing that now. Wait, check it out. We just getting through our shit. He's doing that now. Can you help me? Listen, maybe you're supposed to help people when they're going through the storm. I don't know. But if you can help me, I ask for it. If you can help Raina, I ask for it. If I disturbed your soul, good.
That's right.
Because that means it's a good talk.
That's right, absolutely.
It's a good talk. If I made you squirm, squeeze your butt cheeks. Listen, it's time for me to end. Before I drive to take people crazy. Listen, thank you for inviting me. I'm Addict and Ron. Thanks for listening.